This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So one time I had a coworker who would say she was aggressively apathetic about sports. And let me tell you, there are few things more resonant for me than that. I'm more into collaboration than competition. I like to follow sci-fi and fantasy series more so than sports teams. But I've been around enough athletes to understand how transformative participating in sports can be. With team sports, there is a lot of collaboration. And if you're a person who's dealing with pent-up aggression or straight-up trauma, the act of playing and competing can be a release, kind of like therapy, if you're intentional about it. I definitely see that with Levante Stewart Sr. He's been using sports and athleticism to work through trauma with young people on the South Side who might otherwise be written off as quote-unquote bad kids. Levante told his story to my colleague Ari Mejia for the Shy Sounds Like series at our sister station, Vocalo. I'll let him take it from here.
I'm Levante Stewart Sr., founding executive director of Lost Boys, Inc., located in Chicago's South Side, and this is what Chicago sounds like. So Lost Boys, Inc. is a sports-based youth development organization based on the South Side. So what we do is we center our work on baseball and fast-pitch softball. With that, there is supplementary programming that is focused on human development. I mean, sport as well, but then there are about 5 to 7 developmental areas that we're focused on. Social-emotional learning, academic enrichment, cultural awareness, civic engagement, community service / service learning, health and wellness, nutritional, sexual health. Our programs kind of center in on all of these different aspects of development that are needed for young people. So ultimately, our goal is to increase protective factors for youth and to decrease risk factors. I'm from the South Side, from South Shore. I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s. I'm in my late 40s. And so it was a different community then. It was more of the village. More like the Wakanda of all black people's imaginations, where your neighbors knew you, the neighbors owned the businesses. So it's just an amazing community. There was a lot going on. And then something, things changed. I would say it changed with the crack pandemic. We all know that that played a big role in the decline of black communities across America. And so I think I witnessed it, and I didn't really realize what I was eyewitnessing. I was this really bubbly, nerdy kid. Book fairs were, like, to me, the taste of Chicago. Then I got into sports, and so sports became a great outlet. And so I started with Little League Baseball. We had South Shore Little League. So a love of sports, I think, naturally came with being a Chicagoan. Initially, when I was a little kid, we weren't winning any championships in Chicago, but we had some of the best names in the game. I mean, Michael Jordan, right? We're still talking about 23 to this day. People are still wearing the shoes. Generations left have never seen him play other than in a video. Sweetness, Walter Payton, one of the greatest running backs to ever touch the football field. So Bobby Hull and, you know, the Blackhawks. You had all these amazing stars that were in Chicago. And so, you know, I was growing up watching sports and I think just, you know, Chicago's a sports town, Sox Cubs, right? Ozzie Guillen was my favorite baseball player, Harold Baines. On the other side, you had Sean Dunstan, Andre Dawson, Ryan Sandberg. I mean, I don't know how you avoid sports in Chicago because there's just no way you're not going to be down for Die Bears. Baseball, I think there was a particular love for it because it was the first sport that I played. It was the first sport that I was exposed to. I kind of grew that love of sport from the city itself. I ended up in prison while I was in college in Missouri, just, you know, young, dumb decisions. A little bit of unfairness played a role in it, but Even still then, while I was incarcerated, I was creating programs at the prison I was at around all types of stuff, cultural enrichment, sports programs. We were able to bring flag football and baseball to the prison. That wasn't happening prior to my incarceration. And so by the time I got home, I was 25 years old. And I was trying to figure life out. I started a family. My children's mom, she came across a flyer in a corner store for Little League, and they were looking for coaches, and it was the name of the league I grew up in. And so that kind of brought back some nostalgia. So I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. I want to coach. Won a league championship with the 12-year-olds the first year, and I was kind of hooked into coaching. Like, I couldn't play anymore, and 25 is relatively young to stop playing sports. And so I still had this craving, this yearning, this itch to be a part of sports, but it wasn't working out for me to play. You know, I needed to work and make money and take care of children. So living vicariously through other youth became a new thing, a new way of life. I always figured I'd end up working with kids and coaching sport in some capacity, but I never thought I'd make a complete career out of it. And this guy decides, for whatever reason, he folds his league. And so now it leaves a lot of kids without a baseball league to belong to. And so I didn't know what the other teams were going to do, but I wanted to keep mine going. So I started the paperwork to create a nonprofit. But in the process of doing that, in those first 3 years of coaching, it gave me an opportunity to really observe the youth. I'm seeing some common repetitive patterns of behavior. And so that really piqued my interest and led me down a path of Socratic questioning. Why do children act the way that they do? Why do we write them off and say that they're bad? My immediate answer as a Christian was no. God didn't make anybody bad. We learn to be bad. I wanted to really investigate that and dig deeper into that question, but also wanted to provide a high quality service built back around sport. So I had to expand what we were doing. It became more than the sport, because you'd have kids show up to practice and they're angry or they're not engaged. And so I'm just wondering, okay, what's going on? So as I start peeling back the layers and learning to talk to children and learning to be more observant about their home environments, their school environments, community environments, then I started seeing that children were impacted mostly by trauma. I sat out on a path to become an expert in human development, behavior, and trauma. I think I kind of hitched my life to trauma for the last decade and a half, just kind of trying to understand it and trying to apply the lessons learned in the environment here. What it led us to was becoming what's called a sports-based youth development organization. And so basically what that is, from a social scientific perspective, is simply a theory that says if you intentionally use sports in connection with other OSTs, out-of-school time activities, and you create this positive environment and experience for youth, it places them on a very positive trajectory in life. And so this is what the science finds, right? There's a lot of research around it. So that was the path that I continued down with Lost Boys. Two of my friends, we started it out. One of them was my high school teammate. So we played baseball together, football at South Shore High School. And he was shot when we were 17 and paralyzed. So he was confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life. Joe Stewart with Monty Edwards, good friend, former baseball player. We're now into our 16th year. So May of every year is the kind of the anniversary of it. I didn't think that I'd be doing this, this long, but I'm really proud of the work. Our organization has won multiple awards for this type of work, national awards, global awards, local awards. I think more importantly, though, than the awards is the impact that we know we're having on our community and the youth and the families that we serve. And that shows itself by the young people that come back as alumni, and then they come back and they become staff, and they become the coaches and the mentors and all of that good stuff. So I think for me, that let me know that my time has been appreciated and used very wisely.
Levante Stewart Sr. is the founding executive director of Lost Boys, Inc., wishing them a happy anniversary. This episode was produced by Ari Mejia at WBEZ's sister station, Vocalo. It's a part of their Shy Sounds Like series. You can learn more about Levante and hear other stories like this at vocalo.org. And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleave is our editor and executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening to The Rundown. I'll talk to you tomorrow.